I got to go on a date with my husband on Friday night. We saw The Odyssey. How many of you all have seen it? It just came out, so I assume, am I the only one? Wow. The Odyssey is an epic poem which was written thousands of years ago by someone whose name is Homer, but no one knows if that person actually existed. It is an epic poem with so many versions and so many interpretations, and Christopher Nolan does a beautiful job. You see, this kind of ancient story resonates. It speaks at multiple levels, and good ancient story like that tells us truths about who we are. So I recommend that you see it. But there are no stories that resonate greater than the ones that Jesus told so long ago. Sitting outside near the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus gave us these gifts that we call the parables. And they are replete with meaning. And they teach us about ourselves and about our relationship with God in ways that simple prose or theology could never do. I went on a silent retreat for 8 days. Every morning I woke up and I cheated. I went into my car and I filmed these little morning devotions that I started in the pandemic. So I spoke for about 6 to 8 minutes every morning. But other than that, we were allowed to meet for 1 hour a day with our spiritual director. We were invited, but not required, to attend Mass. This was a Jesuit retreat center. But all the rest of the time for the 8 days was completely unstructured silence. Meals were provided. I did not read any novels or watch any television or look at my cell phone. I walked, I sat still, I read theology, I tried to paint, which didn't come out very well. I tried a puzzle, but someone else finished it. In the summer months, I tend to spend about a week preparing my sermon. So I did not look at the scripture that was assigned for today while I was on retreat. As you know, in the Episcopal Church and the ancient liturgical churches, our Bible passages are assigned to us. We move our way through the scripture. That way, the preacher can never choose what passage to preach from. I get jealous of the Baptists and evangelicals because they can do that. So I had no idea what passages would be assigned to me today. But during the 8 days, there were two passages that bubbled up in my prayer life continually, quite a lot. One of them was about the creation being in labor pains, which was the passage that we read today from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And the second passage that I talked about at length with my spiritual director was this very parable. These passages are so rich that I only am going to talk about the parable today. I wrote an article about the Romans on Substack, if you want to look at that. And if you don't know about Substack, talk to Marissa or somebody, Ed, somebody who knows technology. So let's look at this parable together. But before we begin, I want you to picture yourself as a child with a bedtime story, a fairy tale. I hope and pray that you had some experience as a child of listening to story, with your heart open and feeling safe. So listen in that way today. Once upon a time, there was a master farmer, and he had a field. And the farmer sowed good seed all throughout his field. The kingdom of heaven is like this, Jesus said. This farmer sows good seed all throughout his field. The reign of God, how God sees the world, is like this. God has a field which is the creation, and God has planted good seed, which is you. After God creates the world, what does God say? It is good. You are good. And any voice that tells you you are not good is not the voice of God. Okay? So God says, here is good seed that I will plant in my field. But then at night, while everyone is asleep, an enemy comes and plants weeds among the wheat. And then goes away. An enemy comes and plants weeds among the wheat and then goes away. And so the wheat and the weeds grow up in this field together. There is goodness and there is evil in this world. There is light and there is darkness in this world. And that is the nature of our reality. The servants or slaves of the master, the ones who want to follow him, who are also us, right? They come and they ask the most important questions that all human beings who are aware eventually ask God. The slaves say to the farmer master, wheat and weeds have grown up together. Did you do this? God, is this what you want? Why is this happening? Did you plant this evil in the world? Whenever we fall deathly ill, whenever we suffer from someone's cruelty, whenever we have a terrible accident, we will eventually say to God, why are you letting this happen? Is this your doing? So the servants ask that question of the master, and the master says this. I planted only the good seed. An enemy has come and has planted weeds among the wheat. In other words, this is not God's doing, but in some mystery, God has allowed it to happen. Why? We will not understand. The parable does not answer that question. But it is not God who makes evil. And then the servants ask another crucial question that all of us who want to follow God must ask. Should we go and uproot the weeds and get rid of them? Can we fix this? Can we make it all better? Can we get rid of all the evil and the bad stuff? I want to do that. Don't you want to do that? But the master farmer says, and this is so essential, his answer is no. If you try to uproot the weeds and destroy them, you will damage the wheat. Now, weeds suck the nutrients from the soil. Weeds make it harder for wheat to grow. The Farmer's Almanac says that when the seeds of wheat are young, you must protect them from the wheat. So when we are raising children, we must do all that we can to protect them, to guide them, yes, to prevent them from getting into areas that are full of weeds while they're young. And we can make our wheat strong by cultivating our soil. Because weeds not only suck the nutrients, they also put toxins in the soil that can hurt the wheat. So we are to nurture wheat in our lives. And we are to press up against the weeds and protect ourselves. But we can never remove what is evil completely. And if you and I ever say to ourselves, that person is evil, those people are evil, we do damage to ourselves, because that is not our role. At the same time, we cannot fix people who are doing evil things. If we try to fix them and get all in their business, we get all involved and entangled with the weeds, and we hurt ourselves. Which means you have permission, if there is someone toxic in your life who is hurting you, to not have a relationship with them. That is okay. You are not trying to hurt them or remove them. You are having boundaries to protect yourself, and that is good. When I was very young as a priest, I saw a man who I thought was probably evil. A parishioner of mine, a woman, had two sons, a middle schooler and a high schooler. They were walking late in the afternoon one day together after fishing, and a young man who was high on drugs was speeding, and he hit and killed the middle school boy. The mother and the surviving son were so distraught. How could this happen? How could God allow this to happen? All we could do was walk together through the horror and the sadness. But I sat with them in the trial, in the front row, as we watched this young man come in and sit there and act as if he hadn't even killed a squirrel. And why was he here? And it was such a bother. While his mother cried in the front row. And I thought to myself, is that it? Is that evil? But even then, it was not for me to say that. Does that man need to be kept locked up? Yes, if he can't get sober. Yes. Do we need to protect ourselves? Yes. Is it our job to rid the earth of him? No. No, it is not. So in every decision that you make, you must ask yourself, how can I serve justice and righteousness? How can I cultivate the wheat in this world and do good acts, but yet never think that it is my job to judge or remove another human being from this earth? And at the end of days, the farmer says to the servants, it will not be you, but I will send my reapers, my angels, who will come and bind up the wheat. It will be the evil that is taken away first, and it will be contained, and it will be burned, and we are to wait. And it is not clear if the weeds and the wheat are within us too. Perhaps I know I might have some weeds. They pop up essentially from time to time. Bad thoughts, impulses I'm ashamed of. All of that will be taken away. And the good and the righteous will shine like the sun. And the Maker of all things will gather us all into his barn. Here endeth the story. Thanks be to God. Amen.